Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. I'm in Colorado Springs at the NAFCD meeting, and I'm with Jeff Hamer, the president of Gallagher. Jeff, how you doing?
Great, Kemp. Good to see you again.
You've had some big news. You've sold your company once before and bought it back, and you've been growing it, and now it looks like you've got some private equity people that have come in and bought it again, right?
We did. We've been working on this plan for quite some time because we really saw these changes in the market in terms of how distribution could reposition itself, and we've been working that plan, and it came to fruition in the last year or so. So we went to market about a year ago, had tremendous interest, and ended up partnering with a company called Quad C, which is a terrific firm out of Virginia, and looking forward to the future.
Now, does Quad C have any other ownership related to flooring?
They do. They're the current owners of Staten Carpet, and then years ago they owned Collins and Aikman, which became Tandis, and they've had a lot of exposure to both specialty distribution and building materials, which is what made them such an appealing firm because of their understanding of our industry and the dynamics that I think make us unique and different than other kinds of businesses.
And based on that experience with Hitachi and the fact that they didn't do well after they bought you, they're probably going to make you stay for a while, aren't they?
Well, I plan on sticking around. Hitachi was really more of a strategic play. Hitachi was interested in having Gallagher be the bridge from Asia to the United States. And then when the housing recession happened and the really depression, that whole plan kind of got put aside. Quad C's focus is really on growth, and I think substantial growth. And so we certainly retained an equity position, and we look forward to really growing the business over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I certainly plan to be a part of every step of the way.
I like interviewing you because you call it like it is. And a couple of things I'd like to ask you. One is, obviously, you know, it was in the news about a year ago that you bought this hardwood facility in Arizona, and you're actually a manufacturer of hardwood products, right?
Well, I think you could do it in a couple of ways. We've got three brands that are our own proprietary brands of wood flooring: Reward, Monarch, and then Royal Custom Flooring. And then this factory, which is really quite substantial in terms of capabilities, allows us to pretty much make anything that a high-end home would want in terms of not only the flooring, but the moldings, and whatever pre-finished type you wanted, or scrape, or whatever. So it gives us great flexibility in terms of what we think is really one of the fastest-growing segments, which is that high-end custom home.
Mm-hmm. So wood flooring in the upper end of the market is doing well.
I think it's doing exceptionally well. One of the things that we look at is I call it the wealthification of America. And there's about 1,800 people a day that go from a six-figure net worth to a seven-figure net worth in the United States. We expect about 4.5 million more people with a net worth of a million or more over the next 4 years. And that's what's driving these bigger houses and lots of areas and second and third homes. And they're looking for unique products that are different from what are typically available in most applications in the United States right now. So there's a huge market opportunity, and the higher end is, I think, growing at a much faster rate than the market is in overall.
I remember a couple of years ago at the wood market, you were giving a presentation on the proper way of sourcing wood products from Asia. Do you still do that now, or are most of your products domestic?
No, most are imported right now. In fact, we get from 14 different countries. We have a number of employees overseas. We've got a very rigorous process. We've got a compliance officer that works for us. So we take LACI and CARB and those things very serious. And we also do a lot of work with our various factories in different countries to really make sure that they're following the best procedures, best practices. And we work with them really on developing products that really work for a market. I think that that's the biggest change in the last 10 years is this whole focus on private label. We call it proprietary brand, and sourcing from factories that can really make products that meet specific demand requirements in the country here.
Well, tell me why Santo, my economist who gives me statistics, is telling me that the hardwood business in this country is down about 7%, and yet you're growing the business. What's different there?
I think the big difference is the value of the houses in the West is a lot higher than the average cost of the United States. I mean, I think wood and the wood look is certainly the most popular thing, but you get into lower priced homes, and some of these LVTs and some of these rigid core products are really terrific products, and perhaps in many instances the right product to use. And I think it's taking from low-end wood is where it's probably getting hit the most, and I think probably from some U.S. manufactured, have, I think we call them legacy products, things that have not really changed much in years. And then you throw in there the impact of the porcelain tile looks, you know, wood tile looks. I think that's have an impact as well. But California definitely is a higher-end market, which I think why is wood is still doing so well out there.
Yeah, I concur. A big part of it's the LVT, and then like you say, the porcelain ceramic that looks like wood. Both of those have been eaten into the real hardwood business. All right, so how's your year been so far?
It's been good. We'll be up close to 10%. But it seems like the first half was a bit better than the second. It's not slowing, but there doesn't seem to be the momentum that I think most people expected this year. But we're optimistic about next year, and we've done a lot of work over the next, you know, 2 or 3 years out looking with, we're working with a variety of firms and things, and we think that the next 3-4 years look good. And so we're bullish on the future.
What's the internet going to do to this business?
Well, I mean, you just saw this week that BuildDirect went, you know, bankrupt, and they were kind of one of the innovators in selling wood to consumers. I think it's going to be a factor, but I think wood is something that people want to source locally. They want to touch it. They want to feel it. They want their installer and decorator to be involved. And so I think it's a bigger threat to more the national brands where you can kind of, you know, see it in a store and then source it. But if it's a private label product or something that's unique, you got to get that locally, and that's what our whole focus is on.
We focus most of this interview now on the wood business. When you look at your total flooring business, wood's a big percentage of it, but how does that shake out as far as percentages and the floor and the other surfaces you carry?
Well, it's the biggest part, but we're seeing the fastest growth right now with our LVT products. We've recently launched a whole line of kind of the rigid core products, and those are being really well received. Some of our carpet products for property management are doing well. It's good overall, but the LVT and the wood are certainly the strongest components of the market. There's no question about that.
All right, so we're at NAFCD, and what do you hope to get out of this couple days here in Colorado Springs?
Well, I think the biggest reason I come is to catch up with my colleagues at the manufacturers and other distributors. I mean, you learn a lot more in these side conversations. I know so many people looking forward to seeing them again, and I think there'll be some good speakers. So it's always a good chance to catch up with people and kind of find out what's working for different distributors and manufacturers and take those ideas back and put them in place at Galler and keep the pedal to the metal and keep growing the business, which is what we're trying to do every single day.
Yeah, we're seeing this news of Haynes aligning with Belknap White. Is that telling us that you got to be big to make it?
I don't think you've got to be big to make it. I mean, you're only going to, what, $600 million combined. I think you've got to have a compelling value proposition. You've got to be big enough to have a private label program that makes sense. And so I think that size is going to make a difference going forward. But I don't think you have to be the biggest to be successful, just big enough.
Okay. So there's room for the mid-sized guys in the business.
You know, I think the mid-sized guys have got some challenges. I think there's room to be small and really provide really custom service and be a niche kind of guy. Or you've got to have the ability to have substantial amounts of inventory and broad geographical coverage. So I think it's, you know, probably, you know, 100 million in north and you got, or small. I think if you're in the middle, it's going to be really difficult, is my sense going forward.
All right, Jeff, it's great to spend time with you. Always insightful. Again, been talking to Jeff Hamer, the president of Gallagher, based in the West Coast, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaDaily.net.